As we look to this subject this morning about being holy, we look very much about behaviours and how we dedicate ourselves to God. This evening I want to take a different view and take it from a different angle. Focus on the sacred. The things that are sacred and keeping them sacred. In many cultures, there is a greater sense of sacred than we as free church people hold. In other religions, particularly, many of the things of God were treated with far more respect than we ourselves treat things with respect. If you are a Muslim going off to Friday prayers, before you even go into prayer, as you enter the mosque, your shoes are removed. You go for and have a ritual washing. You're cleansing yourselves, ready to go and take part in the prayers. There's something about the sacred in their mind that they're preparing for as they go for prayers. A Sikh temple. Because they're sacred, they always want particularly women to cover their heads before they enter that place. And maybe you've been on holiday somewhere and wanted to go into a Sikh temple but not been able to because you haven't had a head covering with you. There's something about the sacred that they keep very special. If you're a Muslim again, your holy book, the Quran, you would never put it on the floor and you would never put anything on top of it. It's sacred. Yet very often as Christians, we're happy to use our Bibles as coasters on which we put our coffee cup. Yet, when we look at these other cultures and other faiths, we see that they hold a high view of the sacred. Yet we worship the God who is the King of the kings and the Lord of lords. And often we do that without preparation, without thinking. We just turn up, sing up, stand up, and cough up. Are we careless with our worship? Be holy, because I am holy. Holy. Holy things that belong to God should be treated with respect. Indeed, in our rush to free ourselves from iconology, maybe we have moved away from the sense of anything being sacred. Anything having value. It's funny, having worked in a number of Baptist churches and been involved with a number of Baptist churches over the year as a regional minister and as a holding a national minister, I find it very funny about the things that people do get worked up about in church life. There are those things that people get very worked up about and they will argue to keep forever. It would never happen in this church, of course. But we do get worked up about the wrong things. And often the sacred, the really important things, we let go. In the Old Testament, as the Israelites and Jews travelled with God, there were many things that were sacred. And the place where God dwelt was to be held and kept as sacred. Be that a burning bush, Moses, take off your shoes. The place where you are standing is holy ground. Ark of the Covenant, or the place of the temple. All were treated with total respect. In Haggai, God's prophet is saying, is it right that my house lies in ruins while you have panels on your walls of your home? And then there are many other verses that we could jump into. Consecrate yourself, says Joshua to the Israelite people. For tomorrow God is going to do amazing things among you. And then he goes on to say that verse that we have struggled with. You'll know which way to go because you've never been that way before. But that sense of consecrating, of making sacred. Peter, quoting from Leviticus, in verse 15, 16, he says, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Look around us. Tonight there are many holy people. After all, we are the temples of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? We are the place where God lives. And so therefore, we start as a place when God says be holy, that we should treat ourselves with respect because we are the place where God lives. What's that mean? 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are not your own. There's a statement, isn't it? Because after all, we want to say, I'm in charge of me. No one can tell me what to do. Have you heard those phrases? But the Bible says you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So you belong to God, not to yourself. You belong to God. Therefore, you are a holy creation. It's why there's so much in Scripture that talks about the conduct of ourselves, particularly the in our relationships and that, it's because we are a holy people. Sacred. Have we spent time seeking to be that holy people God has created us to be? Seeking to be prepared and used by God as a holy people. You were created in his image. You were recreated as you came through and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. I'm not going to die, really. Thank you. But we are called to be that holy people which holds the values that God holds, which are the people that God has created for his purpose to make a difference in his world. Our regional minister, Nick Lear, often in his blogs will talk about us being a free sample of God. That's what it is to be a holy person, to be a free sample of God, a blessing where we go. The challenge is, as we go into this year, and we're going to look at this theme throughout particularly the spring part of this year, to be a holy people, the question is, how much more of God do we allow into our lives? We were looking a bit this morning when we were talking about we have those no-go areas for God in our lives. And the areas we say, yes, God, you can come in this far, but no, you're not going that far. And God's saying, hey, you're going to be a holy people. I'm going to take over totally. You're going to be a sacred people. It's me who makes you sacred. We sang earlier in our service, this is my desire to worship you. I give you my life. I give you my all. Did you mean those words? Or were the words, I give you my all, except, Lord, if you could just leave my bank balance alone, because I've got plans for that. I give you my all, but actually on a Thursday, Lord, I'm rather busy. I give you my all, but you know, don't interfere with my family, God. I give you my all, but I'm going to keep some because I want that posh new car. I give you my all, but. You are a holy people. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. That's a challenge, isn't it? Be holy in all that you do. If we went on and got Margaret to do a proper length reading and go to the whole of chapter 2 as well, you see there that there's that whole section on being living stones and how we need to rid ourselves of certain behaviours. And then Peter comes back to this theme again in verse 9 of chapter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Do you notice again? You are not yours. You belong to God. You belong to God. So I want to just come back to the thought of the sacred. Come back to the thought of keeping special things special. Have you got a very special possession? Maybe an antique. Maybe it belonged to somebody, one of your ancestors. And it's maybe a little fragile, and you have to keep it very carefully. And you're always afraid it's going to get broken. And so you keep it in that special place. Maybe you clean it as rarely as possible, just so it is not damaged. And you keep it. And maybe you've got it, I know somebody like that, who's got a load of these things, but they're all hidden away. And they're hidden away so nobody takes them. And you sort of think, well, it's great having those things, but nobody's seeing them. They're hidden away. But it's to keep them. You are a holy people. You are very special to God. You are God's possession. God wants to keep you, and he gives you the commandment to be holy in all that you do. But unlike that, keeping that special possession in a safe place, God wants his possession to be doing that for which it was created. And so in being holy, we do need to keep ourselves pure as we can. We need to treat ourselves with respect. and treat others with that respect. We need to see ourselves as holy and belonging to God. But in that holiness, holy for a purpose, to make a difference in God's world. And so, as I come towards a conclusion, I want to introduce another sense of holy. And that's a holy discontent. A holy discontent. When Peter was writing, he was writing to the Christians, he was talking about how they should live. He was talking about the challenges of living in a worldly society. But he talked about living for God. And God's calling on our life is not to be holy like Toby jugs in a cupboard for everybody to look at and admire. But it's to do the work of God who calls us. The trouble is, we're so often content with just being holy and in church. But we should be discontent. Discontent about the injustices we see in the world around us. Discontent about the fact that we might be going to war again. Discontent about the state of God's creation and the environment. Discontent about global warming. Discontent about all sorts of things. Being holy is not enough. Being holy is holy for a purpose. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And in being holy, let's be discontented because we want to redeem the unholy world, and by the power of the Spirit, make it holy. Redeem the lost and enable them to be transformed by the Spirit. Redeem the broken and enable them to be made special again. Friends, there's not one person who God doesn't love. So in our attempt to be that holy people, God calls us to be. Let's not forget that's for a purpose. And so, as we enter 2020, maybe we need to have a new view of the sacred. The sacred being one another. The sacred being the things of God. The sacred being the work of God. But let's also make a difference to God's world as he calls us to.